blessed to be here. God's been good to us. Preacher called me earlier, told me about his dad. I thought, my goodness, I mean, it's one thing after another. It's just every way you turn. You think, is there never going to be an end? But they are. I'm glad one day there's an end coming. We're going to get out of it. And we know what the results of the end is, because if you've read Revelation, the end of the book, you know and you see what's going to happen. So I'm glad tonight that I'm saved and born again. I'm glad it's something that it didn't take years and years to happen. It just took minutes, seconds, just twinkle of an eye, God saved me. And then changed me, and then my life changed and keeps on changing. He had his Bible, turn over to John chapter 21. Go to John 21. I want to thank God for y'all supporting us down there at the church and praying for us. And we had, I don't know if I told y'all, but we had a lady join a week or so ago. So I was happy with that. And she said she wanted to join and wanted to know what she needed to do. I thought, I'll tell you to come up. You just come up. And she's a nice lady. I mean, she loves the Lord, and she wants to help all the time. So it's just one here, one there. I'll take them however God brings them. So he says, add to the church such to be saved. So that's just trusting in him. Over in chapter 21 of John, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of the disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered, no. And he said unto them, cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of the fishes. And therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for this very minute. I ask you, God, to drive back the opposing powers of hell. I ask you to help me to preach the Word of God. Don't let me say anything contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. And I pray you be a help, Lord, to each and every one here. And I pray, God, we need help in this day and time, God. We need some encouragement each and every day. We pray for the preacher's mama and preacher's daddy. God, touch his body, Lord, please. And for Brother Shirley, Lord God, please help him. I ask you, God, there's others, many others are sick and they need help. And the Bible says through the fervent prayer of a righteous man, that availeth much. I ask you, God, that we would pray, we would seek you, Lord. And God, that we'd pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. Our country's sick. Our country's sick in sin. It is wicked and vile. And you said all nations that forgets God's turned into hell. And our nation truly has forgotten you, Lord. Help us, God, to stand true and to stand tall, not bend or bow to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to look at is in verse 1, it says, in these things Jesus showed himself. After these things, Jesus showed himself. I want to look at when God shows up. You know, when God shows up, things get different on the scene. I mean, when you're in the house of God and everything's just kind of going along, and then the Lord starts coming in and somebody starts getting happy, and, you know, then people get to smiling and praising the Lord, and it just makes a difference when God shows up. When God comes in, I don't care whether it's two, three, four. I've been where there's just a couple of us. I've been where there's hundreds of us. And God shows up, and then people get to shout and praise the Lord. And you can just feel the Spirit of God when He shows up. And when there's just two there, if you're just by yourself and you're praying and God shows up in your prayer closet, I mean, you just feel the Spirit of God. I mean, and you can have a time just by yourself. I mean, it's good when God shows up. I mean, I love it when the Lord shows up. I mean, down in my church, and the Lord comes in and show up, and you'll hear some amens and stuff, and boy, it just blesses my heart. I mean, I like that. I mean, say amen or oh me, say something, you know. But, you know, just give God glory and praise. But when God shows up, I'm glad He's forgiving. I'm glad He forgives me for my sins when He shows up. On August 15th, 1976, about 25 minutes to 9, I was dead in sin and walking in sin. I was going to hell that night. Jesus showed up. And I'm glad when He showed up and He come into that church and He got a hold of that preacher, and that preacher was preaching everything that I'd done and everything that I'd said, and he would point his finger and it just come around at me. I was sitting five seats back on the inside out here, and he was just preaching, and he'd say what I'd done said and told my wife things that I wanted to do. And the preacher was preaching. Why? Because God showed up. When God shows up and you're in there and He starts pointing out your sins and the things you've done, and you think, well, who told Him that? Somebody had to have told Him, because He couldn't have known that. But I'm telling you what, God knows everything. You can't hide nothing from Him. And you think when you get in the closet or wherever, you can hide from God. He's an all-seeing God. He's everywhere at one time. He's always there. You say, how can that be? Because He's God. I mean, He's God. I thank God. I mean, I tell you what, when God comes in and meets with you, I mean, when He shows up, it's just the grace of God and the glorious Son of God takes time out just to come in and meet with you, and maybe put His arm around you, maybe just give you a kiss on the side of the face, and boy, the Spirit of God gets on you, and you just got to praise God or cry. Sometimes you can't do nothing but cry, but I tell you what, when God shows up, it's a good time, it's a glorious time. I'm telling you, He's a forgiver, and He forgives you of your sins. He forgave me of all my wicked sins, forbearing in Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you do ye. I tell you, it's hard for you to forgive somebody, but it wasn't hard for Jesus Christ. When He died on the cross of Calvary and He saw me and all the sins that I'd done, yet He still forgave me, and He still took away my sins, and He gave me a blood bath and washed away my sins to never be recalled against me anymore. The only one to bring the sins up against you is the devil. I mean, if somebody goes, yeah, I remember what you used to be. Yeah, that's the thing, what I used to be. Thank God I'm not that no more. Thank God. God changed me. God made me clean. God took that filthy mouth away. God took that filthy mind away. God put Jesus in my heart. Well, I'd be turning on the radio, the preacher be preaching, I'd just go right on by. Now I go back and forth trying to find Him. And boy, it just aggravates me. It get gone, you can't get back to it, and then you got to gun Him down. Thank God I'm glad. I'd rather be that way and want to hear the word of God. I want to hear the things of God rather than the things of Satan. But God's my friend. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's my friend. And he's my friend. And he, you know why he's my friend? Because he forgave me of my sins. Because he's my friend. Because when he died for me, he did it just for me. He didn't pick out somebody who had more money. He didn't look down at you and see what you owned. He didn't look and if he had looked to see what all I had, man, I've been last on the list. But it doesn't matter what you got in your pocket. It doesn't matter how much money, how tall you are in the community. It doesn't matter who you are. You might be the president of the United States, but if you're not saved by the same blood that I was saved by, you'll die and go to hell no matter who you are. You must be born again. And I'm glad tonight to know that Jesus Christ come in my heart and washed away my sins and took a mile away. He didn't forget one or two, but washed them all away. He said once and for all. I mean, he took them away. I don't got to worry about being saved today and lost tomorrow. I'm glad, thank God. When I got saved, he wiped them all away. Never to remember against me again. I'm glad today to know that I don't have to worry about it. I mean, man, I've done some bad things in my life. I mean, I tell you, I look back on them things that I've done. I mean, wicked things. And you know what? God don't know nothing about it. Hallelujah. The only one knows is the old devil keeps bringing it up. But thank God I'm glad when I stand before Jesus Christ, I'm just as pure in his sight as anybody else has been saved. I'm pure as the Son of God. Thank God that blood washed away my sins. I'm glad today that Jesus is my friend. He's my friend. And over in John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life. No man took it. He laid it down. And you know, when he laid down on that cross, he didn't fight, he didn't kick or nothing. It said he just laid down on the cross. And they drove the spikes in his hand and drove them in his feet. And then they threw him in that hole and it stood, it hit, you know, it had to hurt as he plunged down all his weight. And then they took and stuck the spear into his side. Don't you know that hurt? But thank God he was had me on his mind when he had all that going on. I was on his mind. But yet a lot of times I get stuff on my mind and I tend to forget sometimes, you know, just what all God did for me. Just what all the Lord Jesus Christ went through for me. And we look at the things in their life that's happening now, and we see the troubles and the problems in this life, and we see in this time that we live in, I believe we're living in the last moments. I believe we're just waiting. It was waiting for the Lord to come back, just to step out on that cloud. And I tell you what, every way you look, there's troubles and problems on every hand. I mean, look at Miss Joel, Miss Hyde, and then Brother Joel, and at the same time, and then look at Brother Shirley as he's gotten worse in just the last year. And you just look around, look at the people who's passed away and died. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you here tonight, you better think about your friends. He said he laid down his life for his friends, but you better think about your family tonight. You say, well, we're not going to ever be in this building in the same way we are right now. I mean, it won't be that way. Something will be different. I mean, somebody be missing. But you think about people when they die and when they go on, and then you cry and you pray and you wonder where they're at, if they're saved or not. I'm glad that if you don't have to worry about me tonight. If I die, you say I was saved and born again, and my name's in heaven, and I'll be there in heaven. And if you don't make it up there, I'm sorry for you. But I know I'm coming. I am coming. I'm going because of what. If I don't go to heaven, this book's a lie and it's out of hell and the truth's not in it. And I know that ain't right. As the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is God's Word. I seen an ad on the internet a while ago for a church, for a pastor. It says you got to be able to. I don't forget how they said it. We'll preach, you know, at all different transition, you know, versions of the Bible. Said it in the preaching hour, they had many different versions. Well, what the world are you going to do when you get to heaven? How are you going to know which one you had was the right one? I mean, you get up there and there's about 300 or more. There's a lot of them. I mean, and you get up, all these versions and you say, well, God, I did this. What the NIV said, do this. And he comes out and he said, well, the King James was the Word of God. Well, what you going to do then? I tell you, I stand down there and I preach, and I've been preaching for 45 years and it's soon be 46 years. And this year, and I preached the Word of God, and I've stood on this old book, and I preached and declared the Word of God, and I've cried out that Jesus saves. I've cried out that He died on the cross. And I tell you what, I'll go to, if I die and go to heaven, and God and come before the Lord, I'm going to say, Lord, this was the book you put in my hand. This was the book that I was told that it was your book. And then I prayed, and I felt led that it's your word. And I preached it. And I want people to know that I'm not going to bend or bow to the word of this word. And I don't care who it is. King James is the Word of God. And you can match it up beside all these other versions. And it's funny how used to, you know, they say, yeah, talk about a $2 bill wasn't real. But a $2 bill was real now. It used to be fake. And they'd always match money, real money, up to a fake money. And that's what they do to the King James. They take and match those other Bibles. And it's better read. You can read that better. I don't have no problems with this. I understand what it's saying. I mean, I know what it's saying when it tells me who among us shall burn in everlasting fire. I know what that means. You're going to hell, that's what it means. People just want to soften it up and cool it down because they don't like it when it gets hot. They don't like it when it gets heavy. They don't like it when the word, the man of God, slobbering and spitting and proclaiming the Word of God. He'd rather you be up here telling you everything's lovely, everything's going to go good. He'd just do what you want to do and it'd all be all right. That's what they want to hear. And I'm telling you, we need some preachers. And who's taking up the slack? Who's taking up the slack this day and time? When you see preachers, young men called to preach, where are they at? I mean, I'm not running nobody down, but I'm talking. They get called to preach in churches, and they say they're called to preach, and they get up and preach one or two. What'd they do? Change their mind? They're not called now? God called me to preach, and I never could get it off my heart. There's a fire burning in my soul to preach the Word of God. I preached to the dogs. I preached to the chickens. I preached to everything I could. When I preached to the steering wheel, I preached all the time because I had a fire in my heart to preach the Word of God. We are a younger generation. I don't know what the problem is. Why don't they get it? Why don't they get it where Jesus saves you? Jesus calls you, and He puts a fire down in you, and He wants you to go out and preach the Word. You just don't give up. You get kicked down, you get back up. Amen. I've always said a Christian's like a ball. You take a basketball, you push it to the bottom down in the water, and you let it go of it, it's going to come up. going to come up. I've been down so many times, and thank God I've been up too. Thank God I didn't stay down. When you stay down, there's your problem. You got to get back up. Why in the world do you quit coming to church? They just quit coming to church when that's where the help is. Oh, your help's in the house of God. Your help is around the people of God that loves you and prays for you and calls out your name. But yet, what do they do? They just quit coming. I tell you, I used to hear them years ago. They said a bunch of thin-skinned Christians. That's what they'd say. And then I find out you get thin-skinned when you get old. That's the problem. All I got to do is touch myself and I'm cut. But I'm telling you, I don't understand this generation. I don't understand. I mean, people back when I got called to preach, I mean, we had 5-6 preachers in one church. And we'd have preachers, older preachers would get together and have young preachers' fellowships. And they'd call them together. You'd have a bunch, 25, 30 young preachers. And they would preach. You had to just let them preach. You know, people don't do that no more. I know we got COVID and we got this, we got that. But I'm telling you what, most of the time when they get a chance to preach, they won't even preach. My gosh, you got saved, didn't you? You got a testimony.
That's right. Amen.
Man, I can get up, I can preach off my testimony. But people today, I don't understand what's going on. But I got a friend, and when God shows up, my friend shows up, he shows up because he's faithful. He's faithful and he's just. And when he shows up, he comes because he said he would. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was faithful when he died on the cross of Calvary. He was faithful when he rose on that third day. He was faithful when he went back down to the hell and got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He was faithful when he went up to heaven. And then he sat down on the right hand of God Almighty. And you know what? He's going to be faithful when he comes back, when he calls us out for the rapture. And he's going to be faithful when he comes back at the second coming. And I'm glad my friend's faithful today. And I tell you what, if he wasn't faithful, what would you do? I mean, what would you do if you prayed and your prayers never got answered? What would you do when times of trouble and you was down in the valley and you were so discouraged and depressed and you cried out to God? And what would you do if he wasn't faithful to come in and answer you and come in and speak to you and just talk to you and let you know that things are going to be all right? One way or the other, things are going to be all right. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. He doesn't waver. He doesn't go up and down. He's the same all the time. I've always heard the ground was level at the cross, at the foot of the cross. And I'm glad he'll save anybody. And, you know, people might... in their last seconds, ask God to save them of their life. And if they're true and God's dealt with them, they can get saved. You know, I've heard preachers say, well, it's hard for somebody to be saved, you know, right before they die. But it's not hard for God. God can save them. I mean, you don't know where they, you don't know. You'll have doubt and not wonder or whatever. And I can't help but think, in my mind, you think about things. And I witnessed to my family for all them years. And I told them how Jesus is coming. I told them how Christ died on the cross for them. And when I witnessed to my mother all them years. And then when she was down there in that hospice, and she told me she was scared. She said, Dennis, I'm scared. And then I got to talking to her. And told her to pray, just ask the Lord forgiver. And she said she knew she was saved when she was young. Well, you can't bank on that all the time. You got to know now. You got to know. And she asked God to save her. And it wasn't but hours later that she passed away. And I got a picture on my telephone. And I look at that picture sometimes. But Robin, she's laying over there in the bed. She looked like a zombie. I mean, her teeth wasn't in her mouth. Her face was all shriveled up. And she was just laying there. I mean, that was my mother. That was the one that raised me. You better look around. All these kids is not here tonight. And all these people, you better look around at your family. You don't know when they're going to go. You don't know when that mother's not going to fall over. You don't know when that dad's going. My dad passed away years ago. Yeah, I had to go in there, and they had him on a ventilator. And I had to tell him to cut it off. You think that wasn't hard? But my dad told me he'd see me in heaven. That's the only assurance that I had. The only assurance. But then I look at my brother. I don't know if he's in heaven. But I got my doubts. But I tell you, you better love your family. You better care about them. You better tell them how much you love them. You better tell them what they mean to you. You know, it's a crying shame how kids can turn this day and treat their parents and someone who's took care of them, who helped them out, done all they can, then they just turn around on them and act like they don't even care no more. You will. When they laying down there and they grinning at a coffin and you over there begging them and crying and hanging off from them, then you'll be sorry. You'll wish you'd done everything you could have. I have no regrets for what all I've done for my mama. When my mama was sick in them last years, I helped her. I helped my wife goes down and helps her mama. I help her mama mow the yard. I cut wood all the time for her. And because there's a day coming. She's 90 years old. Ain't going to be here long. You never thought Brother Robert was going to leave us, but he did. He went to see the friend. Amen. The one that sticketh closer than a brother. The one who died on the cross of Calvary. The one who shed his blood. I tell you what, he's God, because when he shows up, he's going to be on time. He's going to be right on time. He's not going to come late. You know, sometimes we come to late. I get tied up. I have to ride like an hour and 20 minutes down to church, and I try to leave at a certain time. Sometimes I get tied up, and I'm not really late, but, you know, they're sitting in the Sunday school. Jesus ain't going to be late. Hallelujah. He ain't going to be late. No, sir, buddy. When that trumpet sounds for us to get up, ain't nobody going to come up out of grave late. Going to all come up at the same time. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know that I'm saved. I know when it happened. I know when he saved my soul and how he changed my life and took the things away that I didn't want. I didn't want to do them no more. I didn't miss them. He just took them away. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you got, I see people, and you try not to judge, you know. The Bible says, judge not that you should be judged with the same judgment. But if you judge something, you better just judge it with God and pray for him. I mean, I'm going to judge a rattlesnake if I walk up on him. I can tell you that right now. I'm not going to go up and get bit. And you come around me and you're taking God's name in vain, you're cussing and everything. Well, I know you're not no apple tree. I know you are a rotten peach tree or something. I mean, you got to look at things. But thank God he's coming. He's our friend. I'm glad he's a friend, and he's going to show up right on time. And I appreciate Brother Hyatt letting me preach tonight. And I appreciate y'all. I want you to know that I love y'all and pray for y'all. And appreciate for what y'all do for us and y'all praying for us. And we just keeping on until the Lord comes. That's all I know to do. I've been doing it now for 46 years, 45 years. Be 46 years this year. That's all I know to do is keep on keeping on. Brother Todd, there ain't nothing else to do. Just keep on. Just keep on. I mean, when you get knocked down, get up and keep going. It's just sad when you're looking around in here in the church and all the people, my family. I don't know. Where they at, I don't know. It hurts. You think where and what went wrong. God's got it under control. God knows it all. He knows what's happening, and he can take care of it. If he don't take care of it here, if they're saved, I'm not saying they're not, but the ones is if they're saved, they stand before God, they're going to cry some bitter tears. Because we all are going to be judged at that judgment seat. And then the lost at the great white throne judge. But anyway, thank you for praying for us. And keep on praying. And keep praying. God add to my church down there. Well, it's God's church. I've been trying to do a few things to get people to come. We got these postcards made. Brother Joel Gray's church made them. It's got an invitation on them to the church, and I got 500. I'm supposed to get about 650 more, and because when you send them out, you can send them out on a royal route, but you got to send them to a whole section at a time, and everybody that's in that section, if it's a 500, if it's 2,000, you got to send them all one. So I had to wait and see it, get it. But I plan on getting them sent out the next week or so. And if I don't get but one person to come, if God sends one, I mean, you don't know. You don't know. So we're trying, and just help us pray. And we definitely need some kind of, if it ain't nothing but one of them juice harp players. I need somebody. Somebody play some music. But we got Pat sings and Miss Sandra in our church. She sings. But just pray for us, and we pray for y'all. And pray God use us down there and help us. And thank you for listening. Father, thank you, God, for tonight. I pray you bless each and everyone's here. God, I pray, God, it blessed them, their hearts somehow, some way. It might have been a help. God, I sure don't want to be a hindrance. Help Preacher Hyatt, help his mom and dad. Please let his dad be all right. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Pray for Brother Shank in the church down there. God touch him and help him. I'd love to see him. I'd love to see you have a bunch, but I want who God wants down there.
Amen.
We've been through that here. We've had every pew full. I would rather have who God wants here than to have them all full. But pray for Brother Shank, that church down there. Pray for Brother Chris, the church up in Mocksville. God help them. Brother Hobson, as he goes out and tries to do a work here as a chaplain, pray God help him and use him. Pray for the people that there's prayer lists down here. There's people in this church right here need prayer each and every day. I thank God every time that I can feel his presence and every time I can feel people of God praying for me.
There's times when there's nobody to cry out to but the Lord. And I don't tend to normally send people prayer requests for me. I do for other people, my wife, my family, my kids. But you can tell I can pray to God and ask Him to help me. And it won't be but a little bit. And I'll start getting text messages. I'll start getting phone calls. And whatever I'm going through seems to turn around and go the other way. And He's faithful to help. And you can tell that when people of God's praying. And so get a prayer request, one of these prayer letters, and pray. Pray for the people of God. Pray for Brother Joel down there in the hospital. I don't know what that situation is, but God knows. He's in control, Brother Shank. He's in control of it all. Job said, He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. And He said in the Word of God there that we're predestined to be made like Him. And you know, it's funny sometimes the path we have to go down to get that way. But I've seen things in my own life, troubles and heartaches and situations that I thought at the time was bad. But God's turned it around and He showed me later on that I'm closer to Him now than I ever have been because of that. Or that God did a work in my heart because of that and has changed me and I'm more like Christ now. And so God's faithful all the time. Pray for the meeting Sunday. I don't know if y'all look at the news, but it looks like we might get some more snow. So I don't know if we'll be here, but pray the Lord's will be done. Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what we get. So, but pray for the services coming up. Pray for our pastor and his family. And y'all be careful tonight. Thank y'all for coming. And I'll dismiss in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come for You, God. We thank You, Lord, so much for meeting with us, Lord, in this little meeting here tonight. Thank You, God, for the people that, Lord, that You put in this place tonight. Lord, the people that, Lord, that needed to hear this message, needed a little word of encouragement, God. I thank You, dear God, for the desire in their heart to come. Dear God, I thank You, dear God, for the word of God You allowed us to hear, God, the message You give Brother Shank. I thank You, Lord, so much for that. God, I pray, Lord, You might help Brother Joel. God, I pray, Lord, for the preacher's daddy. God, I pray, Lord, You might help him, God, there in the hospital. I pray, God, You might be with him. God, give him full recovery, Lord, whatever it is. God, give him strength in his body. God, make him whole. God, I pray, Lord, for our pastor. God, give him grace and help that family. God, help Miss Norma. God, I pray, Lord, that You might give us all safe traveling mercy on the way home. Dear God, I pray, Lord, for those there at the house, God, that need a touch from You. God, I pray, Lord, You might be with them. God, I pray for my daddy. Lord, there's some, God, with COVID. Lord, other prayer requests, Lord, that was mentioned here tonight. God, Lord, You know them all. And I pray, God, that You might work Your perfect will in their hearts and their lives. Dear God, help them. Dear God, give them the help and strength they need. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the lost. Dear God.